Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. We left off in Luke chapter 1, and we left off at verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel. Okay, what's happening? You know the angel. The last message was called Gabriel in Galilee, because Gabriel had appeared to Zacharias in Jerusalem, and now he's dispatched to Galilee. Galilee of the, who remembers? Galilee of the Gentiles, it was called. Galilee of the Gentiles, because during the 8th century, the Assyrians took all of Israel out of the land and put other people there, and the Gentiles inhabited that area of Galilee, as well as Samaria. That's why the Samaritans in the time of Jesus and the Jewish people didn't get along together, because they weren't Jewish. And so it's called Galilee of the Gentiles. We learned that Sepphoris became what? Who remembers what Sepphoris was? It was the regional capital of the Romans in the Galilee, and it was also, in the beginning, during Jesus' childhood, it was Herod Antipas, son of Herod. It was his capital city. He built a capital there. Later on, he moved his capital to Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee. But we learned that probably the word that says Joseph was a carpenter, that word in the Greek, tekton, doesn't mean carpenter, but builder. And probably he worked on Sepphoris, building with stone. For generations and generations, it's a mistranslation of the word. It actually, tekton, doesn't mean carpenter anywhere in Greek. It means builder. And so Joseph probably worked on that work in Sepphoris. They pulled people from all over, and Nazareth was just an hour's walk from Sepphoris. So it's an interesting area, an interesting place. Now, this area in Galilee, Nazareth, small, tiny village, young woman, 15, 16, 17, Mary. We learn that she's blessed. We learn that she's highly favored. We learn that the angel speaks to her, tells her that though she's a virgin, she's not married yet, she hasn't been with a man, she's going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. And says he'll be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. We talked about all of this on Thursday. Now, verse 34, Mary answers the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, what's the difference between her response and Zacharias' response? Remember, Zacharias had a question too. The angel appears to him on the right side of the incense altar, and the angel tells him that his wife, his prayer is answered, his wife is going to bear a son in her old age, he's going to call his name John, and he says, what does he say? Does he say, how shall this be? No, he says, how shall I know? How shall I know? He had a crisis of faith. She did not have a crisis of faith. She was wondering, Lord, how's this going to be? I'm not with a man. How's this going to happen? He wanted to know? How am I going to believe your word? She believed his word. She just didn't know how it was going to happen. He wanted to know how. How can this be? How can I know? How can I know that what you're telling me? How can I know that when you speak the word of God, it's true? How can I know that when the Spirit of God gives me revelation, it's true? How can I know that a very angel appearing next to me, that what you say is true? We never question the authority of God. We never question the authority of the Holy Spirit. We can question the authority of prophets, pastors, apostles, teachers, and evangelists. Absolutely. Because you know they can get off, can start preaching their own private doctrine. That's why whenever I have something that I have seen in the Word of God, I will say, this is what I, or how I interpret it. This is not gospel, this is how I interpret it. I always share that with you. There can be prophets that they have something, I mean, it is right on target. And then a month later, they prophesy something that's out in left field that doesn't come to pass. Well, prophets must prophesy correctly. We don't cut any slack. I'm sorry, but we don't cut any slack. That's why I'm so glad I'm not a prophet. No slack. Because according to God's word, the prophet prophesies 100%. So, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? So the angel answers and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. That literally means be enveloped, be covered, the Holy Spirit come upon you. And this is more interesting, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. I love that word. It appears again. These are the first two times we see this word power. Now we all know this word power from Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Dunamis power. Dynamite power. Dynamo power. The power of miracles. The power of signs and wonders. But we saw it when the angel spoke to Zacharias, saying that that John would have this power. And now we see it here. The power of God, the dunamis power of God, the same power that you and I have, is the power that comes upon and overshadows Mary. This miracle-working power, the miracle-working power that brought about the conception of Jesus, is the same power of God upon those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. How exciting is that? Overshadow literally is to be enveloped in brilliance. To be, you know, she never spoke, apparently, to Luke about what that was like. She told the story to Luke, because Luke recorded this. But I'm not sure, I wonder what that was like to be enveloped in the brilliance of God. What can we liken that to? Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses, who was in the brilliance of God, that when he came down after 40 days and 40 nights, he had to put a veil on his face because his face shone. He soaked up that glory. Now, I believe that in Mary's case, the glory was on the inside. It didn't shine through her face. The glory was on the inside where Jesus was conceived. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also, that holy thing, that holy one, it just says holy in Greek. It doesn't say thing. It just says holy. That holy one, which shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God. I can't help. I can't resist. The Holy Spirit leaves no question of gender. Nobody's confused. I'm sorry, but nobody's confused. It's Son of God. He told Zacharias, you shall bear a son. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. Now, well, let me just finish that. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Barren. The Lord, in sharing this with Mary, gives her revelation and gives her hope. Also builds her faith. When you give a testimony of a miracle, like Pastor Mary Beth shared about my miracle 15 years ago, being healed of cancer, it builds faith in people. It builds expectation that it's not hopeless, that there's hope for me, that God has something more for me. Maybe it's not in the area of healing. Maybe you haven't been diagnosed with cancer. Maybe you've just messed up in life. Maybe you just made poor choices, poor decisions. Maybe things have gone wrong. Well, it's virtually the same. It's just in another realm. And God has hope. God has a plan. God has a future. The Lord says that even if you've been barren in the things of God, barren in soul winning, barren in your work for the Lord, God has something for us. He will birth something through us. He's looking for vessels that are willing to be used of him. Not people who just want to be religious and come and go unchanged and hear the stories and have their hearts warmed and go have a nice meal. He's looking for people that'll say, use me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I am ready to be used of God. I am willing to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God. I am willing to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And your will and your plan. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the plan of God comes. Notice that. What brought the plan of God to Mary? The Spirit of God. You will be covered by the Spirit of God, enveloped by the brilliance of God. The power of the Spirit of God will bring this to pass. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there's a plan. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, God's got a plan. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit today, he's in you, which means God has a plan in you. You may not know it. You may not be aware of it. You may not know how to give birth to it. But God is calling you to birth the plan, his plan, in the world, in your world, in our world today. And so, behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. He adds that. It's beyond time. It is not something natural. It is not something expected. It is something that everybody's given up on. Is there anything in your life like that? Not something expected. Something everybody's given up on. Something you've given up on. Not with God. God never gives up. Jesus comes to the tomb. It's 4 days since Lazarus has been buried. And they said, you're too late. Mary says it. Martha says it. You're too late. Never too late with God. Never too dead with God. Expect a miracle. Expect him to move. And he says, this is her 6th month who is called barren. It doesn't matter what people call you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter anything that they do to you. What matters is what God says about you, what God thinks about you, and what the Spirit of God is doing in you. That's what matters. And only you and I know what the Spirit of God does in us. Those people out there, they don't have a clue. They don't know what he's doing. But you do, I do, and God does. I know the plans I have for you, plans that are good, plans that are bring about an end, a positive end. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Notice the phrase, with God. Without God, not quite sure. Without God, may or may not. Without God, possible, maybe not possible. With God, possible. With God, it's possible. With God, your miracle is possible. With God, your healing is possible. With God, your breakthrough is possible. With God, your prayers are answered. With God, you have what you need when you need it. With God, your needs are supplied. With God, you walk by faith. With God, you move mountains. With God, you lay hands on the sick. They recover. With God, you have revelation. With God, you read the Word of God. He speaks to you. With God, you know doors will open as he opens them that nobody can shut. That's with God. Without God, maybe yes, maybe no. Without God, you might not. Without God, you stumble and fall and you stay in the gutter. With God, you get up and keep going. You pick up your bed and you walk. With God, you're an overcomer. With God, you're more than a conqueror. With God, we triumph in all situations. Without God, you might lose and stay lost. Without God, you may not be able. Without God, you may not be strong enough, but with God, we are able. With God, we are able to do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. The all-important thing the angel said is with God. With God, nothing is impossible. What's impossible in our lives today? What has happened or what has not happened? What has there been in our lives that we've been holding on to, believing for, expecting, wanting, desiring, even praying about, and it hasn't happened? It is still possible. You are not too old. It's not too old. It's not too dead. It's not too over. It's not too late. With God, all things are possible. It's with God. It's not just with God occasionally. With God when I feel like it. With God when other things are not too busy in my life. With God when I don't have other things to do. It's with God. Either we're with God or we're not with God. There are only two choices, with God or not with God. He said, I would rather have you hot or cold, but not lukewarm. So it's with God. Choose with God today. Choose with God. With God. With God. Then he says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And we're getting to the title of today's message. This has all been wet by way of introduction, I guess. Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Now that word handmaid is female slave. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Handmaid sounds nicer. but in the Greek, it's female slave. Jesus was born into a time of slavery. It didn't matter the color of your skin. We equate slavery with African Americans, or at that time, Africans. In this time, everybody was a slave. You could be a Greek and be a slave. You could be a Slav, and as a matter of fact, slave comes from the word Slav, because the greatest number of slaves took place, great slavery, in early Middle Ages, and the Arab slave traders, or let's keep in mind, the Arabs were the slave traders of the world for centuries. They traded Slavs. They were the most desired slaves, the Slavs, and that's how Slav became slave. But in the ancient world, Romans generally would not be made slaves unless they were captured by some other people. Like, for example, there was an entire Roman legion that was lost. If I said the word Cassius, anybody know who that is? Cassius? Yeah. You know, who knows what Cassius is? Somebody knows? He was a part of the rulers of Rome with Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, Cassius, and Pompey. Cassius was extremely wealthy, but he had no military background, and he wanted fame and he wanted glory. So he led a legion into an area called Bactria. You know where Bactria is? Afghanistan. The entire legion was destroyed. Everybody destroyed. He was killed. The legion destroyed. They lost the whole legion. Not everybody was killed. They were sold into slavery. So if that happened, Romans would be made slaves. But otherwise, every other people on the face of the earth, regardless of color, regardless of creed, race, whatever, they were made slaves. So here, she uses this word. She says, "Behold the slave, the female slave of the Lord." It's hard for us. We have such a repugnance to slavery, and we should. And nobody then wanted to be a slave. But they had an understanding that we lack, because it was an everyday common thing in their time period. I don't advocate it, but this was the way things got done. They had no electricity. They had no power. They had no fuel sources other than wood and oil for their lamps. So all the production, all the construction, all done by slaves, all the agriculture done by slaves. They didn't have tractors. So that was the engine that fueled the ancient world. And so slavery was very common. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew, especially the poor people, they knew that they were just one tax collection away from being slaves themselves. So there was a fear of that, or having to sell their children into slavery. So they understood what that meant. They understood what it meant to belong to somebody. And Mary is saying, "I belong to God." Can we say that? Can we understand and comprehend that? That we belong to God. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul kind of says that. We are not our own, he says. We are not our own. We've been purchased, right? When he says we've been purchased, it's not just our redemption that was purchased. We have been purchased. We've got to understand that. We don't belong to ourselves any longer. We belong to God. Therefore, we don't have the right in the kingdom of God to make any decision without consulting him first. That's a hard one for us to swallow today, isn't it? It's a little bit hard to swallow because we're just used to doing what we want when we want and then asking him to bless it. We need to stop before we do it. Lord, would you have me do this? Check in with God first, and then he will bless it. You don't have to ask him to bless it or ask him why he didn't bless it. Well, it's a good work. I'm serving people. It's a good work. It may not be his work for you at that moment. Ask him to direction, purpose, blessing from the outset. But she goes on. Mary said, "Behold, the slave, the female slave of the Lord, be it unto me." Be it unto me. In other words, I accept. I accept your word at face value. I accept the challenge. I accept what I'm going to go through. I accept that it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy to be an unmarried woman in a small village in Galilee that is betrothed to a man, having not been with him or anybody, to suddenly show up pregnant and hear and understand the reaction of everybody around, and even wonder if Joseph, who has every right to have her stoned, if he's going to do that. He had every right to have her stoned, according to the law. She said, "Be it unto me anyway." Can we say that? Be it unto me your will. Let the chips fall where they may. Now, when I say that, I'm talking potato chips. I'm not talking poker chips, okay? I don't play poker. Used to be I could let the chips fall where they were because Vasily would take care of it for me. No, I would hide all the evidence. You know how that was. If you had anything, like I know that Vasily, he loved broccoli. And I'm sure it was because the kids don't. Slip it under the table to him. My plate is clean! He was a sweetheart, but he loved unconditionally. That's how God loves, unconditionally. I got to stop talking about him or I'll start crying. Be it unto me according to your word. Look at this. Be it unto me. Now, the word there is rhema, spoken word. Rhema. When was the last time God spoke to us? Now, you know, now God speaks to me. This isn't the last time, but this was the most amazing time, 15 years ago. I'm laying in the hospital. I just had radical surgery when I wasn't supposed to. And the surgeons just told me they couldn't get it all out. And they said, the only hope we have of keeping you alive, and you know you're in trouble when they're talking hope. When doctors hope. No, I don't want doctors to hope. I want doctors to do. Okay, do it. No, we hope. The only hope we have of keeping you alive is massive radiation and massive chemotherapy. Cancel all of your engagements, you're speaking for the next 6 months. You are going to be flat on your back. Well, that isn't much of a prognosis, is it? And about 4 hours later, that night around midnight, the Spirit of the Lord comes into my room. No, I did not see Jesus. Somebody came in, but I didn't see anybody. But then I heard his voice. I heard his voice. The reason I said it was the most amazing, because I heard it outside of me and I heard it inside of me at the same time, simultaneously, like stereo. And he said, two scriptures from the Old Testament. Two scriptures from the book of Psalms. You shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God. For I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. And I knew no matter what I felt, no matter how bad I felt, no matter how weak I was, no matter what the doctor said, I was healed. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Be it unto me according to your spoken word. Be it unto me what you just said to me. Be it unto me what you've said when I read the word of God. The problem is if we don't ever pick up the Bible and read the word of God, we may not get the revelation of God. If we don't ever hide the word of God in our hearts, we may not ever hear the Spirit of God bring it up to us. This is why we need to be in the Word of God, reading, meditating. You shall meditate in this book of the law day and night to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then will you make your way prosperous, and then will you have good success. The Lord told Joshua and told us through Joshua. And nothing's changed. The more we read the Word of God, the more we meditate in the Word of God, the more we memorize the Word of God, the more we hide God's Word in our hearts, the more He speaks to us, the more we know by Him, the more rhema we have, and we can say, be it unto me. Be it unto me. Yes, be that healing unto me. Be that breakthrough unto me. Be that purpose unto me. Be that direction unto me. Be that breakthrough unto me. Be it unto me according to your word. According to your word, what you have said, what you have stated, what you are the word made flesh. And you know, it's interesting. The last part of that, and the angel departed from her. Now, why did the Spirit of God put that in there? The angel departed from her. His job was over. You notice with Zechariah, it was different. When the angel said what he came to say, and then Zacharias kind of ruffled his feathers. I guess we can say that about an angel, right? Ruffled his feathers. Even though angels, I don't know. I don't know if angels have feathers. Have you ever been in a service where feathers fall? I'm serious. There used to be. I mean, I never put much stock in it because the same with, they were having services where gold dust came down too. It's like, all right, really? Gold dust?
You're doing road work or what?
Road work in heaven. I prefer services where people are healed, where people get out of wheelchairs. I prefer services where cancers disappear. I prefer services where we get revelation, where the Spirit of God speaks to us, or everybody falls on their faces, begins to weep and praise God, or where people run to the altar and accept Jesus. I prefer that. Anyway, according to your word, be it unto me. And the angel departed. His job was finished. She believed. He knew she believed. He didn't have to say anything more to her. He didn't have to convince her. He didn't have to command her to silence like he had to Zacharias. Like, Zacharias, we're not too sure about you. You're going to mess things up by the words of your mouth. You just talk too much, Zacharias, and it's all negative. We got to take care of that negativity, Zacharias. You're going to be silent. And I imagine if he started writing negatively, his hand would have stopped working. Because, you know, he used a writing pad. Now today, we don't have writing pads. You have your computers, your laptops, your phones. And I imagine the batteries will die permanently. Overload. I mean, I'm sure the power of God could overload the power of our batteries. But that's conjecture on my part. That's not in the Word of God. I told you I would say that. The angel departed from her. His job was finished. He said what he needed to say. She believed it. And what does that mean that the angel departed? It's done. It's done. It hasn't happened yet, but it's done. You see, the things that God has promised to us, some haven't happened yet, but we don't consider them done. So we dwell there. We stay there. We hem and we haw. We beg and we plead. And yes, we ask God, but we ask God in faith, not doubting in our hearts. We don't wallow around in emptiness or wallow in ineffective prayer. The angel hears from her words, of her mouth, her heart. Yes, I accept it. Let it happen. I'm ready to be used of God. And the angel says, I'm out of here. I got other things to do. This one's good. I don't have to do any more. Don't have to say any more. She has it. She's got it. Do we have it? With God, nothing is impossible.
Amen. Can you say amen to that? Can you believe that with God, all things are possible, that with Him, nothing is impossible? What are the impossibilities of your life today? Let me share an impossible situation that occurred in my life 15 years ago. I was in the hospital. I had had some minor surgery, which turned into major surgery when they discovered cancer inside. The cancer was touching too many parts of my body to be able to remove it all, and the surgeon said they could take some out, but not all, and the only hope they had of keeping me alive was massive radiation and massive chemotherapy, that all of my ministry should be canceled for the next 6 months because I'll be flat on my back. I was weak, I was sick, I was in great pain, but about midnight, I heard someone come into my room. I opened my eyes. I didn't see anyone, but I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard His voice inside of me and outside of me simultaneously, and He spoke two scriptures from the Old Testament, both from the book of Psalms. You shall live and not die, and declare the wonderful works of God. For I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. From that moment on, I knew I had my healing. I heard what the doctors and surgeons and radiation scientists were saying, but I knew I had my healing. I confessed those two scriptures over my body, over and over. I repeated them, and 3 days later, the surgeons walked in and said I was cancer-free. I was released from the hospital the very next day.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com.
That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.